Censor that part, me. Thank you, me. I will. I'll leave this part in, though, so you all know I censored something out. What was it? You don't know because you're not here. That's right. It's my secret. Anyway, I don't remember why I brought that up. Well, I'm really high. As you can tell by losing my train of thought halfway through, and that means it's time for another Drunk and Dangerous. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, rambling and ranting about nothing for no goddamn reason except for the fact that it's 2020. The world is on fire. Little Dung Heap is on fire. It's now available as merch. I'm putting it in the link below. Anyway, the world is on fire. I'm exceptionally high, and I'm stuck indoors because I don't want to catch COVID, which is somehow now a political thing. Consider this the beginning of your fucking audio. If you're listening to this in the beginning of the audio, this is actually recorded in an intermission of the story you're about to hear. Yes, that's right. I come to you from the future. I originally recorded a very heartfelt pseudo-political rant about the state of humanity and empathy. And I thought, you know, maybe the story will be lighthearted and the kind of depressing intro wouldn't be so bad. And then the story that you're about to hear, it started. And I thought to myself, I can't start out on such a dark note. So right now I'm taking this intermission. It'll be a very short one, by the way, extremely short. When you finally hear it, because I'm going to cut out all this part and paste it in the beginning. So I watched this really terrible movie on Netflix. You might have heard about it. The Last Days of American Crime. And so I want to tell you about this movie if you haven't watched it. The main character, they call him Brick all the time, which is funny because, like, his face always looks constipated, kind of like his personality is I'm a cool guy and I'm kind of mad all the time. And like, that's really his only emotion, is kind of being mad all the time. And his face kind of looks like a potato, which is fine. It's neither here nor there. At one point, there is a shootout on the highway where these cars are literally side by side. The doors are open. They're in point blank range firing machine guns at each other. And neither one of these people, when sprayed with bullets, car doors open, point blank range with the machine gun, receives a single bullet wound. Amazing. It's the kind of movie where you feel like it should be halfway over and you realize you've only been watching for 15 minutes. It's the kind of movie where you stop and you realize only an hour has passed and you go, how the fuck do they have another hour and a half of plot? Basically, your hero, Potato Head, his brother, quote unquote, commits suicide in prison, but actually he was murdered by some people, so he's all super sad about it and angry. And then everybody somehow has a chip in their head that somehow knows if you did a crime, and the government's gonna turn on this pulse, so like if you try to commit a crime, that the chip will stop you from doing it, right? Like it's just gonna send some kind of sound wave or shit into your brain to paralyze you, stop you from doing it. I don't fucking know how. They never explain it because it's goddamn impossible. It's supposed to be something about, it's just stupid. It's stupid and it doesn't work. But there's these people that he meets, this guy who looks like Jake Paul in 10 years, and his fiance who talks like she grew up only reading like poetry books because she doesn't speak like a human. The first interaction between Potato and this girl is like, it's honestly like listening to two bots have a conversation, because it's like, are they talking in code? What is this? What are they doing? Like, what is happening? This isn't a human conversation. And then they fuck in this bathroom and he keeps rubbing her bare back on this dirty ass, like graffitied, piss covered wall. And all I can think is like, ew. Your back's covered in piss. You're not even wearing a dress to soak up the piss. Your bare back is covered in piss. And then as soon as they're finished fucking, she's like, oh, check one off my list. And he's like, well, what is that? You're checking off your list there. And she's like, fuck a loser. Like, legitimately, did you really say that? Like, I feel so bad for you that you just said that and thought that that was clever. Like, what? That guy was literally just inside you. Like, you really think that hurts his feelings? Okay, lady. So anyway, none of them have any personality at all. They're like they came out of a perfume commercial, basically. The only one with personality is Jake Paul, and he's a douchebag, basically. But he's the only one I actually care about, even though he's a douchebag, because his personality is at least douchebag. Like, I get his motivation. His motivation is he's greedy, he's stupid, and he wants to commit a crime and steal a bunch of money because he's greedy and stupid. I get his motivation. These two perfume models, I don't know what they want. All they do is, like, stare out windows and have weird kissless sex where they barely touch each other and her back is always smashed up against some surface somewhere. And the entire thing is just a completely joyless experience where you can tell nobody's having a good time. Like, there's no chemistry between these people. So they tell this guy, hey, like, we want to get you in on this crime. We're going to steal a bunch of this fucking money, and then we're going to go over to Canada where, like, you know, they're not having the pulse, so they're free in Canada. They can commit crime in Canada still. And then we'll be good right before the pulse goes off. Like, we'll be fucking good to go. So he, for whatever reason, agrees. I don't know why. He just agrees to it. I guess because he's angry about that his brother was murdered and he's seeking also to get revenge for his brother, but not really, because, like, he kind of, they set this story up, and then it's like for an hour and a half, nothing happens. You get the buildup of the plot, they meet kind of early on, like 30 minutes in, and then like an hour of them just farting around and doing nothing, just talking to people that don't matter about shit no one cares about. Nothing actually advancing the plot. It is honestly like spending the day with these people as they scroll through their phones and talk about random bullshit no one cares about. It's like, it was honestly like a movie's worth of nothing that they left in there that has no impact on the plot whatsoever. And at one point, like 2 hours into the movie, this guy's best friend, quote unquote, dies. No one who has watched this, who I have spoken to, who has watched this, understood which character was this man's best friend. 2 hours, like, into this movie, the person who was his supposed best friend, no one could guess. He is treated like a business associate at best, and they barely speak the entire time, and suddenly he's supposed to be upset because his best friend is murdered. He never talks to this person or about this person. How the fuck am I supposed to know or feel upset that his best friend is killed? I mean, not to mention the fact that Brick takes, like, a point-blank shotgun blast to the stomach and, like, right up against his ear, even though it only leaves, like, a teeny little circle out of his ear. Like, yeah, fucking right. He still manages to, like, get up and, like, drive a fuck ton. And even then, like, he... whatever, it doesn't kill him, and it should kill the fuck out of him, and he acts like nothing has happened. He's not bleeding profusely. It's like it entered him. The exit wound is tiny, and there's no blood. Brick is not human. That's what I discern from this entire thing. Brick is not a person. I don't understand the fucking girl that is an asshole and came from a perfume ad. Like, she has no personality. I don't know why she's with Jake Paul. I don't understand. The whole thing is a big mess of garbage, and you're just so relieved when it's over. You are so fucking happy when it's over, and then you're begging the credits to roll because you don't know if more is going to happen because the movie seems like it ends 5 times. You keep thinking this is the end. Then you look at the runtime and you go, nope, 45 minutes left. It just keeps going. And so if you are not involved in the making of The Last Days of American Crime, pat yourself on the back. You did not make, like, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Honestly, fucking bravo. Yeah, Gold Star. And that is the way you intro A Drunken Dangerous, where the story is a little bit not happy. Hey, everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for another Drunken Dangerous. Do you know I come from the future? I do. It's the past and the future. Pretty confusing, but I'm telling you, really brace yourselves if you love animals. Brace yourselves for the next story. Okay, I guess this part should end, and I will introduce the next story to you very soon. Brace yourselves if you love animals. I think it could get bad. Okay, take it away. More naive, dangerous from the past. And let's warm ourselves the place. My reputation. As I read the next story in Grimm's fantastic edition of fairy tales. Old Sultan. Old Sultan. A farmer had a faithful dog named Sultan. Oh God, is a dog gonna die? I mean, really? I can't have a dog die after that rant that I had in the beginning. Don't do it, Grimm. Don't do it, Grimm. Please. Is somebody gonna eat the dog? Are they going to lock Old Sultan in the doghouse and set it on fire, let him burn to death inside? What's going to happen, Grimm? Okay, here we go. He had a faithful dog named Sultan. He was old and couldn't latch on to things with his teeth anymore. So the farmer said to his wife, I'm going to shoot Old Sultan. He's no longer of use to us anymore. Okay, see, now I'm feeling like I need to scrap the whole beginning to that, so if you're hearing this, you might not have heard the original beginning. I'm going to paste something nicer over it. Because the story is so fucking bleak already. It can't be bleak. Hey, 2020 is great, you guys. Okay, intermission. Okay, so that's all the intro I'm leaving in. If you listened to the beginning of this audio, you understand why. You're welcome. Whatchamacallit, whatever you call it, I'm really high. Over. Now I'm bothered. What is it called? It starts with an I. Intermission over. Anyway, the old man said, let's shoot the dog. His wife replied, don't you do it. We should support the faithful dog in his old age. He served us well so many years.
You must be out of your mind.
God, her husband's a dick. You know he abandons her if she gets cancer. You fucking know. Her husband said,
what are we going to do with him? He doesn't have a tooth left in his head.
Yeah, that's why people get the dog, for their teeth.
No thief will be afraid of him anymore. If he served us well, he's done it because of his hunger and because he was fed here. Tomorrow is his last day. End of discussion.
The dog had overheard everything that they had discussed. And apparently in this world, the dog can fucking speak English. You're fucked, old man. You're so fucked. Since he had a good friend, the wolf, he went out to see him in the evening and whine about his fate and tell him that his master was going to shoot him the next day. Don't worry, the wolf said. I'm going to give you a good plan. Early tomorrow morning, your master will be going out with his wife to make hay, and they'll take their little child with them because nobody will be staying at home. They generally lay the child behind the hedge while they work. Now, you're to lie down next to the child as if you want to rest and guard him. I'll come out of the forest and steal the child. Then you've got to jump up and run after me and chase me away. They'll believe that you rescued their child and you'll be in their good graces. And they'll give you anything you want for the rest of your life. You know what? That's a good fucking friend. That wolf is a good fucking friend. We all could use a friend like that. I will also pretend to steal a baby to make you look like a hero. No, I'm kidding. I won't. I don't want to go to jail. Plus, you guys have teeth. Like, That scares me. This dog doesn't have teeth. There's a difference. If you don't have any teeth, I'm not concerned. I have a very strange, I have really strange things that scare me. Just teeth. I'm not worried about guns, but teeth. Ugh. It's the worst. The dog liked the plan, and it was carried out just as they had conceived it. The wolf ran off a short distance, and when the dog overtook him, the wolf dropped the child, and the dog brought him back to his master, whereupon the man cried out in a very loud voice,
"Well, since our old Satan has chased..."
Oh, Sultan, not Satan. You know what? It's 2020. Dog's now old Satan. Okay? Dog's old Satan. It makes it better.
Okay. Well, since our old Satan has chased away the wolf once again, he's going to stay alive.
I like that he shouted this.
He's going to stay alive, and we'll support him for the rest of his life. Wife, go home and cook him some bread mush that he can easily swallow.
Ew. If I'm old, do not feed me bread mush, you bread mush? That poor fucking dog. Not even, like, pureed meat. Bread mush? Bread mush. This old man needs a kick in the testicles. I swear to God. Bread mush.
Also, bring him my pillow. He's to have it for his bed as long as he lives.
I think the guy just wanted a new pillow. Is this why he's asking for it? All of a sudden, old Satan had it so good that he couldn't have wished for a better life. The wolf came to him and was delighted to learn that everything had succeeded so well. Oh, the wolf said, "Dick, hold on. Now you certainly won't have anything against it and will help me when I steal a fat sheep from your master." But Satan was so loyal to his master and told him what the wolf had in mind. So the man waited for the wolf in the barn. Oh, come on. No, now Satan's a jerk. And when the wolf came and wanted to get a good bite of sheep, the farmer practically skinned him alive. Later, the wolf was so outraged that he scolded old Satan, called him a miserable fellow, and challenged him to a duel to settle things. This is not where I saw this story going. They're dueling now. Like Yu-Gi-Oh. They're gonna duel. Your moon. Yu-Gi-Oh. They were to take their positions right outside the forest. And each one was to bring a second with him. The wolf was the first one at the place and had brought the wild boar as his second. And old Satan had only been able to recruit a lame cat. And finally set out with her. When the wolf thought that she was picking up stones to throw at them and... When the wolf and the boar saw the cat coming toward them, constantly limping, they thought that she was picking up stones to throw at them, and they both became frightened. So the wild boar crawled into some bushes, and the wolf jumped up a tree. When the dog and cat reached the spot, they were both puzzled to find nobody there. However, the boar in the bushes began twitching his ear, and when the cat saw something move, she sprang on top of the boar and bit and scratched him. Consequently, the boar leapt into the air with a loud cry and ran away. As he was running, he yelled out, "Your opponent's sitting up there in the tree! What a fucking bitch!" He totally fucking ratted on his friend for no goddamn reason. What a fucking bitch! You know what's funny? There may be a cat in the story, but that boar is definitely the biggest pussy. Legitimately. What a little fucking pussy. Oh my God.
Your opponent's sitting up there in the tree.
So it came to light that the wolf had cowardly retreated, and the only way he could climb down from the tree was by agreeing to a peaceful settlement. Holy shit. They didn't die. So it actually worked out super well in the end. and dogs and wolves are better at settling their problems than humans. I can put that in there. I didn't have my pseudo-political rant. Ha, I did it. Okay. And you'll never hear it. You never will. Bum, 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 bum. Sucks to be you. Although, I do need to set up the live Drunk and Dangerous, in which case I won't be able to take it back, and I will be left with that hanging over my head forever, so. Canceling the live Drunk and... No, I'm kidding. The next story is... The Six Swans. A king went hunting in a vast forest, got lost, and couldn't find his way out. Finally, he came upon a witch and asked her to show him the way out of the forest. However, the witch told him she wouldn't do it. He had to remain there and would lose his life. He could only be saved if he had married her daughter. Oh, if he married her daughter. Damn, that's some fucking reverse shotgun wedding, right? Normally it's the king forcing you to marry, and it's a witch being like, marry my ugly daughter. I mean, I kind of have to assume, right? I mean, maybe she's attractive. It's just that the king would never have been like, yeah, I'll meet you and marry you. Still, it's kind of rapey, man. I don't know. The king cherished his life, and he was so frightened he said yes. So the witch brought the maiden to him. Though she was young and beautiful, he couldn't look at her without getting the creeps and secretly shuddering. Getting the creeps. I swear, sometimes Grimm writes like he's 13. Did she have cooties, King? Tell us. Okay. However, he intended to keep his promise. Then the old woman led both of them on the right path out of the forest, and once they were at the king's home, the witch's daughter became his wife. I mean, it's kind of amazing that he kept his promise, even though he was, like, under duress. And that's not legally binding, King. You don't have to do it. She's a crazy bitch. You honestly, are you into this, King? Is this a role play, forced to marry the witch's daughter? Tell me you wouldn't like that. I could totally make that a sexy role play. What do you think? Along with Cinderella and her stepsisters. Being forced to marry the witch's beautiful, virile, you know, sexually deviant daughter. She's also a virgin, though. It's like one of those weird, you know, incel fantasy things. You know? Like a total crazy slut in bed, but also totally pure. It's wild. It's like wanting it to be 2020 and also, like, have the world not be on fire. Like, you can't have it both ways. Okay, where the fuck am I on this? Okay. The king foolishly kept his word to that crazy bitch. Now the king still had 7 children from his first wife. Oh my fucking god. 6 boys and a girl. And since he was afraid the stepmother might harm them, he brought them to a castle in the middle of a forest. It lay so well concealed nobody knew the way to it, and he himself would not have found it if a wise woman had not given him a ball of yarn. When he threw the ball before him, the yarn unwound itself and showed him the way. It's like GPS, but it's yarn. Since the king loved his children very much, he frequently went to the castle. However, the queen became curious and wanted to know why he was going out into the forest all alone. She interrogated the servants, and they revealed the entire secret. The first thing she did was to use her cunning and acquire the ball of yarn. Then she took 7 small shirts and went out into the forest. The ball of yarn showed her the way, and when the 6 little princes saw her coming from a distance, they were delighted because they thought their father was coming and ran out to her. But all at once she threw a shirt over each one of them, and as soon as they were touched by the shirts, they were turned into swans and flew away over the forest. Okay. The shirt makes you a swan. That's some lazy magic. I like that. Well, here's my question. So she threw the shirts over them, but like as soon as they were touched by the shirts, they turned into swans. So why does it need to be a shirt? Like, She clearly didn't put them on them. It just said they had to touch the shirt. Or is the swan still wearing the shirt? In which case, how the fuck did she throw it onto them and then they're... It went directly... I mean, okay, maybe I can buy that the shirt flew open and somehow the wind pushed it down through the kid's head. Like, his head went through the fucking neck hole, okay? How the fuck did his arms go through? What, did he just do it to be polite? Like, if someone throws a shirt at me, I have to put it on. If they tell me that Swan is wearing a goddamn t-shirt, I'm gonna be pissed. I do not believe. Like, and there's a bunch of them. Did she do it all at once? Like a mass shirting? Or one at a time? In which case, did the magic wait until all of them had shirts on to turn them all into swans? Answer that for me, Grim. You won't. You're dead, piece of shit. Lucky for you, bitch. We don't fuck around in 2020. Want some goddamn answers. Ugh. 0 out of 10 shirting. Now the queen thought that she had gotten rid of all her stepchildren and returned home. So the maiden who had remained in her room was saved. Yeah, no shit, we fucking remember there was a girl. I'm stoned and I remember. The next day the king went to the castle in the forest and she told him what had happened and showed him the swan feathers that had fallen down from her 6 brothers into the courtyard. The king was horrified but couldn't believe that the queen had done such an evil deed. At the same time, he was worried that the princess might also be stolen away from him, so he wanted to take her with him. However, she was afraid of her stepmother and begged the king to allow her to spend one more night in the castle. Then, during the night, she fled and went deeper into the forest. She walked the entire day, and toward the evening she came to a hut. Once she entered, she found a room with 6 small beds. Since she was now tired, she laid herself down. But okay, so wait a second. So if it's supposed to be the fucking swans that are living in these tiny little fucking beds, you're telling me that for whatever amount of time these fucking boys have become swans, they somehow acquired tiny little beds and they have a house with tiny little beds for swans, but they couldn't somehow, like, find their sister or, like, return to her or some shit, but they could make little beds for themselves. Little swan beds in a little house. These fucking children made beds for swans. Was this a skill that they had back when these were written? Is it a typical skill? Swan bed making? Was that a thing that people did? Because I'm really confused. Maybe it's coincidental and they're people, little people like dwarves and not fucking little swans wearing shirts. I swear to God, if it's swans and shirts... Okay, she found 6 small beds. Since she was now tired, she lay herself down beneath one of the beds and wanted to spend the night there. Yet at sunset, 6 swans came flying through the window, landed on the floor, and blew on one another. Yeah, that's why they wanted to be alone. They blew on one another. Until all their feathers were blown off as if some cloth had slipped off of them, and there stood her 6 brothers. What the fuck? They blow each other? The feathers disappear? Are they the size? Wait a minute. They didn't say they grew, so were these swans literally the size of people? Because that's horrifying. I'm very confused about their transmogrification. Are they changing size? Or the boys literally the size of swans to begin with, in which case they're extremely malnourished? I have so many questions. I hope you're also asking these questions and it's not just me and I'm not just crazy because of 2020. At least that's why I'll blame it, you know? I'll be like, it's the 2020 that did it. I swear. You can't stay here, they said. This is a robber's den. When they come home from their marauding, they live here. We can take off our swan skins for only a quarter of an hour every evening and assume our human form during this time. Then it's all over. If you want to rescue us, you must sew 6 little shirts made out of asters. I don't know what that is. Net neutrality probably knows. Net, comment it in below. What are asters? But during this time, probably flowers, right? But during this time, you're not allowed to speak or laugh. What the? Really? I'm not allowed to speak or laugh. I feel like they're just fucking with their sister at this point. You're not allowed to speak or laugh. Otherwise, all your work will be for naught. As the brothers were speaking, the quarter of an hour expired, and once again they were transformed into swans. The next morning, however, the maiden gathered asters, perched herself on a branch of a tall tree, and began to sew. She didn't speak a single word or laugh. She just sat there and concentrated on her work. After she had been there for some time, the king who owned this land went hunting and came to the tree where the maiden was perched. His hunters called to her and told her to come down, but because she was not permitted to answer them, she wanted to satisfy them by throwing them presents. That's how I communicate with people. My parents try to call me, and they're like leaving voice messages like, hey, where are you? We haven't talked to you in weeks. And I just Amazon deliver something to their house. Gift note like, I'm alive. Just throw presents at people that are asking you to answer your phone. Oh my God. I think that'll work. She's throwing shit down. So she threw them her golden necklace. Not her pearl necklace. Yet they continued to call out. So she threw them her girdle. And that's not a gift. Your girdle? Your used girdle? No thanks. It says girdle. It sounds like curdle. Don't throw that to me. How fat are you? Don't throw me your girdle. And when this didn't work either, she threw down her garters and... Okay, she's getting naked. The king's daughter's getting naked and throwing her clothes onto the king. I feel like this is going to become a porn, but it's not. But it really sounds like it will. And little by little, everything that she had on and could do without until she had nothing left but her little shift. Still, all this was not enough for the hunters. I'm pretty sure that they're like, they know. They're just hoping she'll get totally naked. Oh, where is she? I don't know. I guess we won't know until we find her panties. They climbed the tree, carried her down, and led her by force to the king, who was astonished by her beauty. He covered her with his cloak, lifted her onto his horse, and brought her to his home. Even though she was mute, he loved her with all his heart, and she became his wife. I'm pretty sure it's, different king. Now the king's mother was angry about all of this and spoke ill of the young queen. Nobody knew where the wench came from, and she wasn't worthy of the king. When the queen gave birth to her first child, the old mother-in-law took the child away and smeared the queen's mouth with blood while she was asleep. That's some crazy shit. Then she accused the young queen of having eaten her own child and of being a sorceress. However, because of his great love for his wife, the king refused to believe this. Plus, also, like, the fucking evidence... You really think your fucking wife ate your kid and she's so sloppy that she'd leave blood on her mouth? Come on. You really think she's that sloppy? She got you to marry her and give her a kid and she's so sloppy she ain't gonna wipe her damn mouth after she eats the kid she did all of this to get? Doubtful. Doubtful. Fucking bitch of a mother-in-law. Sometime later, the queen gave birth to a second prince. And the godless mother-in-law played the same trick and accused the queen of cannibalism again. What an odd fucking accusation. Since the queen wasn't allowed to talk and had to sit there mute and work on the six little shirts, I mean, bitch, you gave birth to two fucking kids. Outsourced the goddamn shirts. What the fuck? It took you legitimately, like, what is it going to be at this point? At least 2 years? If they had kids back to back, 2 years to sew six shirts, 2 years, two fucking years. I don't know what I'm doing. And I feel like I could do it in a couple days. Your brothers have every right to be pissed. At this point, they're probably more swan than man. They're probably more swan than man. Your brothers have probably knocked up other fucking swans. They have like little half hybrid swan baby things. Horrifying. That's probably what's happening. You've taken forever. What the fuck is wrong with you? You have not saved anybody. fucking years? No, at that point, you're not saving anybody. At that point, I've given up on you. At that point, I'm flying my ass over to the fucking castle to shit on your bed every fucking day. Legitimately. Human and swan shit. Both. Ugh. But look, this is how dumb she is. Since the queen wasn't allowed to talk and had to sit there mute and work on the six little shirts, she couldn't save herself and was sentenced to burn at the stake. I think you deserve it for taking so long on those shirts. The day came when the sentence was to be carried out. It was exactly the last day of the 6 years, and she managed to finish sewing the six shirts. Only the left sleeve of the last shirt was missing. When she was led to the stake, she took the six shirts with her. I'm glad that they let her do that. And when she stood on the pile of wood and the fire was about to be lit, she saw the six swans flying through the air and they descended right near her. So she threw the shirts over them, and as soon as the shirts touched them, the swan skins fell off and her six brothers stood before her in the flesh. Only the sixth one was missing his left arm. Instead, he had a swan's wing on his shoulder. I guess it's just like that forever now. That's weird as fuck. God, could you imagine? I could have mentioned that. That's strange. Now she could speak once again and told everyone how her mother-in-law had slandered her in such a wicked way. Consequently, the old woman was tied to the stake and burned to death. They were burning someone that day. However, the young queen lived with the king and her six brothers a long time in great joy, and apparently the witch that turned them into swans got nothing but goodness in her life. Honestly, fucking with those brothers was the best thing she ever did, right? Now she has the king all to herself. I'm just saying. Intermission. That was loud. What was that horrible thing I said last time? Oh, yeah. I'm a thirsty girl. Sound like Forrest Gump more this time. It's fucking horrible. Horrible is the way I'm trying to say horrible. Shit, I can't talk. Can I blame the year? I feel like I can't, but I want to. I have to fight the urge to just blame somebody else for my actions. And I thought I wouldn't be a good politician. That's what you do, right? Being a successful politician means being able to successfully do a game of hot potato, right? With guilt. Like, whenever something goes wrong, you have to hot potato it to somebody else. And, you know, when something goes right, you, of course, take the credit. That's how it works. You're like the worst person to do a group project with. Those people become politicians. But only if they can successfully convince the professor or the teacher, whoever, that they actually were responsible for most of the work. If they can convince them, those are the people that go into politics. I don't think I'm that convincing. I like wear my emotions on my sleeve. It's my fucking voice. Okay, I know. Yay, my voice, hooray, whatever. Okay, I'm not saying that. I like my voice, I think it's good. But the problem is, when I'm trying to remain neutral a lot of the times in speech, like, it's hard as fuck. Because, okay, I have a really expressive voice. So when I'm angry and I try to hide it and sound like I'm not, I sound like I'm mad. I can't not sound mad. I go, like, the opposite, where I'm like, okay, I can't sound like I'm angry, so I'm just going to sound as neutral as possible. And when you sound like you have no emotion in your voice, that's scary as fuck, okay? That's like something's definitely wrong. And I can't manage to sound convincingly and not sarcastically happy. If I try to be happy when I'm mad at someone, I end up being like, oh yeah, I'm having a great fucking day. It's been awesome. Like that. It's really bad. Poker. Like, it's okay in games when I don't have to say shit and I just have to remain neutral in expression. But if I have to talk, I lose. I instantly lose because it's hard. And then if I pull it off, I start sweating. And I'm like, you know that anxiety, like people are going to know that I'm full of shit. And I feel like if people wanted to know if I was like lying at poker or lying at, you know, liar's dice or whatever, just look at my forehead and like, is it noticeably damp? Okay, I'm lying. It's bad. It's not good. All right, we are going to read one more story and then we are going to call it an, I was gonna say evening, but morning, afternoon, call it whatever you want. We're going to call it the end because I can only read these for so long. And, oh wait, intermission isn't over. I need to take one more hit off of this because, I don't know, because I can, because it's here and I want to. No, that legitimately though, total non sequitur, but I was thinking about it and I really think my favorite design that I have in my merch is probably Little Dung Heap is on Fire, even though it has nothing to do with like the main channel. It's honestly kind of my favorite thing ever and I really need to get one of those shirts, and like when I do I will post, obviously not my fucking face, but me wearing. I will wrap my own merch because I fucking love it. I swear. Okay. Our last story of the evening is called Briar Rose. Okay, it sounds kind of like a perfume, right? But not like those people from that fucking movie, like the perfume ad people. Those people are douchebags. A king and a queen couldn't have children. And they wanted very much to have one, to steal them, hire someone. Then one day, while the queen was bathing, a crab crawled out of the water, came on shore and said, "Your wish will soon be filled, and you will give birth to a daughter." Indeed, this is what happened. And the king was so delighted by the birth of the princess that he organized a great feast with, was there crab? Did they serve crab? And also invited the fairies who were living in his realm. Oh, there's fairies now. Since he had only 12 golden plates. However, there was one fairy who had to be excluded, for there were 13 in all. Why'd you even do that? That's a dick move. Why'd you do it? Don't be a dick. Just, what the hell? You're a king. You can't get another plate? Eat off the non-gold plate. What the hell? What are you... Donald Trump, Jesus. You have to eat off a gold plate. Okay, fucking asshole. Does he wipe with silk? Does he wipe with people's faces? I don't know. This guy's a dick. The fairies came to the feast, and at the end of the celebration, they gave the child some gifts. Was it a girdle? One gave virtue. And the second, beauty. And the others gave every splendid thing that one could possibly wish for in the world. Wow, that's some lazy writing. This is totally an intermission. Every splendid thing. I don't know. I kind of like, you know, really nice dick. Did you have a really nice dick, Grim? I thought of that. That's splendid to me. Did they give her, like, really cool, like, mutation powers and shit? Like, I want her to be, like, a changeling. Did they give her that? Because that'd be fucking cool. No, but not everything. Was it, Grim? You didn't think people would be fucking losers like this, did you? But we are. Ha. But I'm alive, so I win. Whew. Where did I even go on that rant? Wait. Is this where we... I don't even remember we're still on intermission. Oh, yeah. No. Are we intermissioning? I don't remember. Oh. Well, that was an intermission. So. Future me will put music in there. Yeah. And I'm also, yeah.
This is totally an intermission.
See, I'm gonna put that part in too. Let's see. Okay, now that official intermission is over, we are going to continue with the story. Boy, I'm glad we took that intermission. That was great. See, this is why I took another hit. This is the stuff you would have missed otherwise. Thank God. I'm barely coherent. The fairies came to the feast, blah, 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 gave her a bunch of gifts, everything great. But just after the 11th fairy had announced her gift, the 13th appeared, and she was quite angry that she had not been invited to the festivities.
"Since you didn't ask me to attend this celebration," she cried out, "I say to you that when your daughter turns 15, she will prick herself with a spindle and fall down dead."
Oh, it's Sleeping Beauty. Originally Briar Rose. The parents were horrified, but the 12th fairy hadn't made her wish yet. Ah, fuckity fuck, I accidentally went up. What the hell? No, PDF, you suck. Where am I? Oh my god, I need to go back to this shit. Hold on, okay. I'm almost there. Ah, no, I'm gonna cut all that out because nobody likes this. Okay. The parents were horrified, but the 12th fairy hadn't made her wish yet. And she said, "The girl will not die. She will fall into a deep sleep for 100 years. I mean, couldn't she just been like, she'll just get a boo-boo and we'll cover it with a band-aid. Fucking 100 years? She clearly wanted to fuck with him anyway. You could have made it better than that, bitch. You really don't like kids, do you?" She's like, "I don't want to be a godmother." The king still hoped to save his dear child and issued an order that all spindles in his entire kingdom were to be banned. Meanwhile, the girl grew up and became marvelously beautiful. Thank God, that means she's valuable as a person. On the day she turned 15, the king and queen had gone out, and she was left completely alone in the palace. So she wandered all over the place just as she pleased, and eventually came to an old tower where she found a narrow staircase. Since she was curious, she climbed the stairs and came to a small door with a yellow key stuck in the lock. When she turned it, the door sprang open, and she found herself in a little room where she saw an old woman spinning flax. She took a great liking to the old woman and joked with her and said she wanted to try spinning one time. So she took the spindle from the old woman's hand, and no sooner did she touch the spindle than she pricked herself and fell down into a deep sleep. I mean, okay, so it's kind of like somebody fucked up. Someone's getting their head cut off, right? Because he totally banned that shit. That old woman's dead. Whoever let that shit happen, oh, that king's not playing. That king is fucking killing you. You better get the fuck out of there. True. All this drama makes me a thirsty girl. I hate that. I need to stop saying that. I apologize again. Okay. Let's see. She fell asleep. Just at that moment, the king returned to the palace with his entire courtly retinue. Men, everybody, and everything began to fall asleep. Okay. The horses in the stable, the pigeons on the roof, the dogs in the courtyard, and the flies on the wall. Even the fire flickering in the hearth became quiet and fell asleep. I mean, there's a lot of shit in this universe that's alive that shouldn't be, so I'll believe that the fire is alive. Why not? That casts a lot of questions. But I'm not gonna raise them right now. The roast stopped sizzling, and the cook, who was just about to pull the kitchen boy's hair, that's abusive, let him go. And the maid, who was plucking the feathers of a hen, let it drop and fall asleep. And a hedge of thorns sprouted around the entire castle and grew higher and higher until it was impossible to see the castle anymore. There were princes who heard of the beautiful Briar Rose, and they came and wanted to rescue her, but they couldn't penetrate the hedge. They really want to penetrate for Briar Rose. It was as though the thorns clung tightly together like hands, and the princes got stuck there, tied miserable to death. This is why you outsource, okay? All this continued for many, many years until one day a prince came riding through the country, and an old man told him that people believed that a castle was standing behind the hedge of thorns and that a gorgeous princess was sleeping inside with her entire royal household. His grandfather had told him that many princes had come and had wanted to penetrate the hedge. However, they got stuck hanging in the thorns and had died.
"That doesn't scare me," said the prince.
I'm going to make my way through the hedge and rescue the beautiful princess. So off he went, and when he came to the hedge of thorns, there was nothing but flowers that separated and made a path for him. Why was he the chosen one? That doesn't make sense. And as he went through them, the flowers turned back into thorns. After he reached the castle, the horses were lying asleep in the courtyard, and there was an assortment of hunting dogs. The pigeons were perched on the roof and had tucked their heads beneath their wings. When he entered the palace, the flies were sleeping, as was the fire in the kitchen, along with the cook and maid. The prince continued walking, and he saw the entire royal household with the king and queen lying asleep. Everything was so quiet that he could hear himself breathe. He had really bad problems, but the health system back there wasn't what it was supposed to be. Finally, he came to the old tower where Briar Rose was lying asleep. The prince was so astounded by her beauty that he popped such a big boner that he leaned over and kissed her without asking for consent. Immediately after the kiss, she woke up, and the king and queen and entire old household and the horses and the dogs and the pigeons on the roof and the flies on the walls and the fire woke up. Thank God that fire woke up. Indeed, the fire flared up and cooked the meat, and it began to sizzle again. And the cook gave the kitchen boy a box on the ear. That's abusive. And the maid finished plucking the chicken, and the wedding of the prince with Briar Rose was celebrated in great splendor. And they lived happily to the end of their days. I mean, was she happy? But here's my question. What the fucking fuck is with their bullshit logic of suddenly the path was opened for the prince? Like, it seems a lot less rapey if you think that, like, Briar Rose was somehow controlling it. But if she wasn't, did the witch just basically force her into a marriage? And if so, fucking why? I'm really confused by that. Because it wasn't 100 years. And how come they were just stories of it? Like, how many years had passed? Wouldn't people pretty much immediately know, like, holy shit, that was King So-and-so's castle? Why are they like, oh, stories here tell? It's like if the White House was covered by fucking thorns and no one could escape. And like 2 years later, people are like, I hear there might be a leader in there. Like, what the fuck? You know who is in there. Don't fucking play pretend like you don't know shit. Stupid. It didn't say it like wiped everyone's memory, so how the fuck do they not know? It's my question. Like, nobody tried to fucking save anyone. They just didn't give a shit. Not even the other fairies. They could clearly do stuff. Didn't even fucking try. Man. See, what you really need is one of those wolf friends. That initial story, which I thought was going to be the most violent and terrible, is actually the most heartwarming of all the stories. The whole reason I left out that initial rant. I'm still leaving it out, by the way. You're never going to hear it. I know you want to. I mean, maybe you didn't want to. Maybe you didn't care. Maybe you still don't care and you'll say it, but it'll sound like sour grapes. So don't say it at all. Just, we both know you wanted to hear it. Just because you can't. And that's the worst part of it. Enjoy your suffering. That's what you're here for, right? Dominating woman. That's right. You'll never hear that rant, you dirty, dirty boys and girls. It's all mine. And you can't have it because mistress says you can't. There you go. Titillation for your drunk and dangerous. And that is it for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed. I know I did. Mistress had such a good time. I can do it. There we go. That's a little sexier. Yeah, that wasn't mistress that fucked up. That was dangerous. She's such a stupid bitch. Anyway, not talking to myself. I am not talking to myself. You did not hear that. Anyway, I hope you guys had a great time. I know I did. And hopefully you are back again next week listening. And next week should be the first live Drunk and Dangerous. So hopefully I will catch you there then as well. All right. I love you guys. And I will see you next week. Bye. Mwah.